bad image. It's street fighting. And when the Chinese refer to Chuan Fa, like I see Shaolin mentioned about Chuan Fa recently, and I was like, wow, really? We kind of like the bad boys. We're not like jujitsu. We're not a form-based system. We're a technique-based style. Again, you know, there are Kenpo is the law of the fist. There are laws of motion and action and movement that are governed and guidelined through the various techniques in those particular systems.
Right.
Again, I was just watching a Wing Chun master thing from Master Wong, and he's showing a woman self-defense thing, and he showed the technique that the woman did against the front two hand choke, and I was like, wow, that's a great Kenpo technique.
Right.
So people say, well, what makes it a Kenpo technique? You know, and these are, and a lot of people don't know the laws of motion. They don't know the laws of Kenpo. So therefore, they can't differentiate a Kenpo technique from a karate technique.
So, Joe, before we keep going on, when we talk about laws of motion, we're talking about physics, the motion of physics. I mean, we don't defer from it. We try to teach it because it is the action of movement, kinesiology, the action of the body and how it moves. Is that not being taught in schools? What do you think it's getting missed? Is it because the action of the laws aren't being taught?
It really differs. You know, like I had the honor and privilege and pleasure of working with Ed Parker from 1983 till his death in 1990. Right. He gave me the whys and wherefores. He gave out the laws of motion. He gave out the science of Kenpo. Now, depending who you talk to, some of the earlier people that trained with him when he was just Ed, you know, they weren't privy to that at that time. And when Mr. Parker started incorporating that, they felt he was complicating Kenpo rather than sophisticating it. Ed Parker had a great phrase. He said, sophistication is nothing more than simplicity compounded. And it's those theories.
Okay.
There's a great phrase that I use all the time in teaching Kenpo and other martial arts as well. For every rule, actually we use the fingers of the hand.
Right.
Five. For every rule, theory, concept, principle, or definition, there is an opposite and a reverse.
That's right.
So that's a keystone in understanding the laws of motion, the laws of Kenpo. Now, Kenpo in and of itself has unique elements in regards to it that make something identified as Kenpo. For example, let's take a couple of them, shall we? One of the ones I always mention is the button and the lever. What does that mean? The button in this case is our elbow or our knee. And the hinge-like motion, again, if I strike upward with an elbow and come down with a hammer fist.
Mm-hmm.
If I strike outward with an elbow and come out with a chop or a hammer fist. And again, it's either a closed fist or an open hand.
Yeah.
A closed fist in Chinese is referred to as the iron fist techniques. Mm-hmm. An open hand strike is referred to as the poison hand strikes.
Mm-hmm.
But in regards to that, again, if you see it, like I said, I saw a technique today where a young lady, person came in with a front two-hand choke. She did an overhead inward elbow, did a hammer fist to the groin, did an outward elbow, and left. Welcome to Kenpo.
Yeah, welcome to Kenpo. it's so true.
And this is one, and it's another element is the understanding of what's known as the pendulum. And I do a whole dissertation on this. If you go on YouTube, look up Kwanba, Korea's Kenpo legacy. And I do a whole series on the pendulum techniques. And a pendulum technique is if I do a block and I do a rolling hammer fist and I do a rolling back knuckle. If I do a block and I do a thrusting uppercut action, outward elbow hammer fist. Or I do a thrusting back knuckle rolling into a hammer fist. Or I work, again, up, down the circle, or hammer fist, elbow, up the circle. These pendulum motions are one of the keystones of what constitutes Kenpo.
Right. We always like to stay and we stay inside that geometric shape of the circle, the square, it's what it's called angles making lines and lines making angles. That's where it's at.
Well, you can see it partially behind me, part of the universal pattern behind me. And, you know, understanding those geometric shapes, understanding how they apply in regards to your Kenpo, for instance, here's another example we talked about in what's known as the rearrangement factor.
Okay.
In American Kenpo, we have a technique called striking serpent's head. It's the only technique taught against the hook. And recently, a couple people have been doing videos about this. One guy did it and said, oh, it's against roundhouse. I said, no, it's against the hook. It's the only technique in Ed Parker's camp that's taught against a hook.
Yep.
And we block out. We do an inward downward diagonal raking hammer fist into a dipping outward elbow, that L shape. Again, another geometric line pattern within the context of that. David German taught a technique called circle of fire, where he would block out, actually a side fire, he would block out, hammer fist to nose, roll downward into a hammer fist to the groin, and then stop the person's forward momentum with an outward elbow. The interstructure of the same actions are there. If I block out, hammer fist, outward elbow, hammer fist to the groin, obscure elbow, I'm doing striking serpent's head. Mm-hmm. If I block out and I hammer fist and go right to the groin and stop with the elbow, well, all the component letters are there. All the component ingredients are there. It's just the rearrangement factor. Now, what do I mean by that when I say that? Well, then if I'm working with you and I go, okay, spell going to the store.
Right. Spell.
To, going to the store. Spell it for me.
T-O. It's T-O.
That's it.
Yeah. T-O. Right.
Now, you and I are going to the store, so I'm going and you are to.
To.
Now, what was that?
T-W-O.
No, W-T-O.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm going to. T-O. Are you the guy with those memes? You can't spell it right. Need to spell it.
Yeah. That's
now,
me.
When we get to the store, I want to buy some sun-kissed orange soda, Florida placement, and you say, hey, I got no beer here, so I want to get a soda too, right? That'd be T-O-O.
T-O-O.
So we buy two sodas. How many? Now, how do you spell that?
T-W-O. Right, T-W-O.
That's T-W-O. But in, now, we walk by our Spanish friend, and I see my buddy Juan, and I go, mira, buenas tardes, como esta? Hey, eres tú?
Eres tú.
In that case, in Spanish, we spell that T-U, and also in French.
Okay.
Each instance, the key ingredient is the term "to." Phonetically, is still pronounced the same way.
Right.
So when we look at various Kenpo techniques, we look for the similarity. We look for, Mr. Parker would always talk about pronouncing a move and breaking it down by symbols. He had a great story he told one time when he was teaching Blake Edwards, a famous film director. And for those of you who don't know, he's married to Julie Andrews. And by the way, if you get a chance to check out Aquaman, that big, horrible, hideous monster at the end of the movie, the Aquaman's got a face.
Yeah,
is voiced by Julie Andrews.
Wow, I have to see the movie yet. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I hear it's good.
Great fight scenes, great trying to work and staff work. It's awesome stuff. But anyway, he's there and story about how she says, Edmund, would you like a sandwich? And he was like, yeah, oh, that'd be great. He's sitting down in the veranda, their beautiful home in Beverly Hills, and he realizes, Maria, from The Sound of Music, is making me a sandwich. Mary Poppins is making me a sandwich.
That's awesome.
So he said, if I can ask you a question, when I hear you sing songs like Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, it's amazing how I can hear every single syllable.
Yeah.
And she said, when I was studying in England with my voice teacher, he would force me to enunciate and pronounce every single syllable as I sang. Well, we do the same thing in Kenpo. We want to pronounce
everything.
Each individual move. We don't want to mumble motion.
No.
So that's an important key in regards to Kenpo as well, learning how to pronounce these various movements.
So when
we look at our... Please.
No, so, you know, when we get into that little fine point about understanding every motion and understanding where you are in the motion, it's a slow process to teach, and it's probably even a slower process to learn. And I've seen schools try to run right over the process and get right into the physicality of it, and they're missing all those components about the movement and the science of the pronunciation of the action.
Well, you know, you have to realize that many of, simply said, a lot of the grandmasters of those systems are dead.
Yeah.
And have been dead for quite a while. And unfortunately, as we deviate from the source, or the further away we are from the source, the less information those individuals have. You know, I see this happen all the time. We watch people, I watch videos on YouTube and different sources, I watch different things. And I'm not God's gift to Kempo, and I'm not the Kempo cop. But I do sit there and say, hey, why do you do that? Or where do you? And, you know, Ed Parker, you know, here's a, one thing that made Ed Parker a genius. Ed Parker would not tell you you were wrong.
Right, you're right.
But he would do. He would ask you. He would say, why are you doing it that way? And then he would look at it, and he'd look at it from the logical understanding of that motion. And he would, and sometimes he would look at, well, why you can't. You know, that for you as a person, like I'm 6 feet tall. You're taller than me.
Yeah.
And we're big guys. You know, I've lost a lot. I don't have the Kempo gut anymore.
Right. You lost your weight. Congratulations.
Huh?
Congratulations.
Yeah, I lost 85 pounds.
Yeah.
At one point I was 285 pounds at my worst. And, I got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and went through all the horrible symptoms. And I was like, and I had one of my instructors, Frank Trejo, go through hell and lose limbs. And I just looked at him and told him, Frank, I love you dearly, but it's a club I don't want to be a member of.
Yeah.
So I changed my lifestyle. I worked out more and I lost weight. It's that simple. It really can be that simple. But I know we're going off on tangent land here. But the key ingredient here is that as the generations go on, I mean, Ed Parker died in 1990.
Yeah.
It's 2019.
Yeah.
You know, and other instructors like George Passari, yeah. Nick Serio, Daniel Pye. I include him for his Bottling Pie White Lotus Kempo system for the Bottling Pie people. Adriano Amparado, CJO Victor Gascon from Kazen Promotion Jiu-Jitsu. You know, Frank Trejo. I go down, you know, I look at the line and, you know, half my instructors are gone. And I've lost 9 instructors since 1990.
Before we go on, you know, we are losing, and I was telling a young student this recently, we are losing, I feel like I'm losing a lot of the people, all the people I've either trained with, looked up to, and that was those staples for me, and it saddens me. It saddens me because it's a loss. I get it. We will continue to lose people, but you mentioned it before. The further away from the sun we are, the darker it is, and when you get further away from the original, which is the sun. A lot of people are losing so much of that light, and it seems like it's getting fuzzy and darker with the movements and the education. And I just seem like I don't want to be also the martial arts cop or the Kempo cop, like you said, but I want you to understand what that light source is. And it's important because if you don't, you're going to end up fighting a fighter in the street, in combat. Someone is going to fight a fighter, and that misunderstanding that you're going to not have, or not the pronunciation that you were talking about, that you're not going to say, you're going to get caught, and you're going to get caught in that motion. I just want to throw that in there.
Well, you know, simply stated, I'm spoiled in the fact that I got to work with a lot of these men.
Yeah.
I'm spoiled in the fact that, simply stated, I'm an intelligent individual. you know, not every, you know, that when I used to play Dungeons and Dragons years ago.
I'm a D&D person too.
The categories, yeah. Right? Intelligence, wisdom. Intelligence and wisdom were separate categories. And our intelligence is our learned knowledge and our wisdom is our common sense.
Right.
And, you know, not everyone has the same level of intelligence. Some people do martial arts, you know why? They can't do anything else. You know, I mean, that's all. And, you know, I mean, not everybody has a college education and 2 degrees and from, you know, Brigham Young University like Ed Parker did. You know, some people have 6th to 8th grade education. Professor Chow was not a very educated man, but he had a gift for understanding techniques and the way the body worked in motion. And he simplified it because of the arts he learned and the different influences that affected him. We have to understand as martial artists, and specifically as Kempoists, that Kempo evolves.
Yes.
That various individuals, as they study their various diversified martial arts, add to the well of knowledge. We evolve as martial artists. You know, even many of the Koshiru Kempo people I watch doing Mitosi's system aren't doing Mitosi's system.
Not anymore.
They've evolved with it. They've grown with it. The people who are doing Ed Parker's Kempo 30, 40 years ago have evolved and gone into their own. And in sometimes, you know, playing Bruce Lee and stripping away the unessentials,
yeah.
Which sometimes sit and go, I didn't like that technique. You know, and sometimes knowing the reason why and sometimes not knowing the reason why. I tell a great story. I was with a particular gentleman, and one of his students was going over to advanced form of Kempo. And I'm like, you know, I played Gotha Fonzarelli. Well, actually, I didn't play Arthur because the Fonz couldn't say the word wrong. He could never admit
right.
being
right.
wrong.
Wrong. Yeah.
Remember, we're having a wrinkle in the wonderful world. I'm watching him do the form, and I'm going, you're doing it wrong. He says, what do you mean? You're doing it wrong. Well, that's what my instructor taught. So I look over at his instructor. He says, yeah, you know, I mean, I've been doing this form for X number of years, and I've always asked about this question and about that movement in the form, and nobody could ever give me an answer or explain about it. And I was like, oh. Well, since you asked, I give him the answer to the question.
Right.
In detail.
Yeah.
And he looks at me, and he realizes for the first time in years and years, someone's actually given him the correct and proper answer to the question. His response, well, we'll just keep doing it the way I teach it.
Oh, my God.
At that point.
Yeah. Did you walk out?
No. Why? He's a good martial artist. He just chose to change that particular form. And if I see a person who can do it, I'm going to go, oh, you studied with such and such. Why? Because you do that form that way.
That way.
You know, this morning I put out a video that Merlin Osmond put out from Europe. And he put out the original Form 5. Now, the original Form 5 did not work in the short one, long one, short two, long two format. So their original Form 5 is basically long Form 3, Mr. Parker and the Tracy system, et cetera. So when you watch, you go, well, that's not Form 5. That's – well, in Europe, that's Form 5.
Right.
Because they do it in a numerical number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's no differentiation between short and long forms. But if you don't know that, you're going to sit there and say, oh, my God, that's forms wrong, da, 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 da. But it's not. And to watch their orientation, how it was taught from the wonderful legacy of the man who used to be called Battle Axe, John McSweeney, and you look at that legacy. So it's our ability to understand that and know that. And if we don't, we live in blissful ignorance. And, you know, I was getting back to that story, and I'm saying there's vincible ignorance
and there's invincible ignorance. Yeah.
Vincible ignorance is you don't know something, someone gives you the answer to proper education, and you are now educated. So that's vincible ignorance. You are no longer ignorant.
Right.
Invincible ignorance is when someone tells you something, explains it to you, and you decide you're still going to do whatever way you're going to do it because that's the way you've done it before, and it's good enough for you, and that's it. What do you do with that? Well, you know.
You do what you do.
Damn it. I had it plugged in. What's going on?
Battery. I think Kimpo Joe, Grandmaster Joe, is he's talking on his phone through his phone camera. So we were talking before earlier when we talk. He's using his phone, so he's probably got to plug it in. But when we're talking about the science of Kempo and the evolution of Kempo, I want to add this piece in until Kempo Joe gets back, is that understanding even the action of every action is a process that takes intentional practice in it. And if you don't practice that intention, even if you get down the line and doing an action, get like even your cross chop of that action, if you don't understand this access, the point of access or the motion of the strike, even if you, because if it's coming to a round, and you don't understand the circle of motion or even through the shoulder action, and you're not able to hit that at the plane you're supposed to or coming down at the plane you're supposed to, even if you meet it coming up, you're able to hit that and know exactly what that body part is going to do. And if you don't practice this between this, even between this, in all the blocks, right? The circle of hook block, coming an outward action, coming in, coming an inward action, coming a downward action, coming an upward action. those principles apply the dynamics of movement in the block and in the strike of martial arts and Kenpo and in the science of Kenpo and the science of martial sciences. Because if you're just constantly doing the one way, you're never going to be able to understand the influence of if you come an outward way and how to trigger another reaction for continuous action. So we want you, and that's why I wanted to get Grandmaster Joe Ribello on the line, because we were talking about science, and we talk about the science often, especially when we talk, because it's about movement. It's about the education of movement. And I just think so many things get missed in that movement. So I constantly keep trying to create that conversation on understanding the movement. And then we haven't even gotten into the biomechanics of dropping your weight into it, right? Or not just dropping your shoulder or dropping the arm weight. You know, like Grandmaster Ribello said, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'3 and change and 200 blah, 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 plus. But if you don't know how to drop your weight, right, into the body, and the weight comes from, of course, I'm sitting down. But if you don't know how to drop your weight into an action coming down into that action, then you're just hitting it with your hand. And talking to, you can talk to any great martial artist, and there's so many great brothers and sisters out there that will help you understand that the body mechanics, the motion of science, the influence of science, and then it can get into the intentional, the science, the intentional, the art. You can be listening to this on the podcast later on the American Martial Arts Masters Radio Network, or you can catch listen to it live here on Facebook or another recording. But I hope you take some of this information and you write it down. You write that information down and ask those questions. Ask your teachers, well, why do you do it this way, and what's the outcome? Because I heard Grandmaster Dyer talking with Grandmaster Ribello about it's done this way, it's not done this way, and the reason. Ask your teachers those questions, because if you don't, then what are you? You're not taking anything out of it. And that's what we want you to do in the science of martial arts, because there's so much it could do. This, it is such a beautiful, beautiful way of compassion that you can put into the living sciences. And it's not just the striking, it's mental motion, it's physical motion, it's spiritual motion, it's breath intent, it's balance construction, it's balance movement, it's moving energies throughout the body, the blood flow. I was talking to this earlier in one of my segments when we were talking about energy flow in the spine. It's all that combined into the action of the art. That's why I love the martial science so much. That's why I practice it so much and so often. So we're going to be signing out here. We'll have to catch up again with Kenpo Joe and Grandmaster Joe Ribello. But there's more that we can learn, and we're constantly learning. So don't ever stop learning. Don't ever stop gathering those influences. And yes, we're missing a lot of our seniors and the people who have passed away, but you're the next generation. We're the next generation. We're the next people that's going to be teaching this thing. So any questions, always contact me. I'm Grandmaster Paul Dyer. You can always catch me on my website, drpaulholisticscience.com. And I'll be catching up with you later, and many blessings. Oop, the